Hi, this is John Schaefer. You're listening to WNYC On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads available when you want at WNYC.org and iTunes.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed Hosting Services, providing application management, hosting, professional services, security services, and compliance solutions for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
It's Britney, bitch.
The year in music, in words. And last year, Britney Spears gave us plenty of words. This is Soundcheck. I'm Joel Meyer, one of the show's producers, and today for John Schaefer. Today on the show, we look at the best music writing from the past year and a Latin music craze that took New York by storm in the 1960s. We'll hear about the Boogaloo and live music from a band who's not afraid to boogie, the New York rock outfit Sam Champion. But first, every year brings a new collection of the best music writing, and this year's anthology is, as usual, all over the map. It includes a fresh look at the composer Jean Sibelius, an investigative story about hip-hop rip-offs in Kansas City, and one pop critic's feminist deconstruction of this headline diva, Britney Spears. The music journalist and author Nelson George guest-edited Best Music Writing 2008, and he joins us by phone to tell us about some of the 30 stories inside it. Nelson, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hey, thank you. Nice to be here.
So, Nelson, we've been hearing a lot about the tough shape that the financial industry is in, but two industries that have been having trouble for a long time are print journalism and the music industry. From your position as guest editor of this book, was it hard to find good writing out there?
No, I mean, I don't think the writing has changed. I think when people say the record industry is in trouble, they don't mean the music industry is in trouble. And that is, I think that people are downloading like crazy. There's millions of websites of all kinds that used to be may have been fanzines. I think what's happened is that there's a proliferation of writing about music, I think, all over the place. It's just not. It's not like the days when I was coming up with a Village Voice and Rolling Stone and maybe a couple of other magazines were kind of, you know, very important voices. You know, Trouser Press, people like that. Now all of that writing is being done online as well as in these print publications. And so there's lots of good writing, and some of it's pretty crazy, and some of it's pretty thoughtful.
So does that mean that tough times in the music industry or in the recording industry means it's sort of like a buyer's market for music critics?
I just think there's a lot going on. I mean, I think when you look at what goes on with independent hip-hop, when you look at what's going on in indie rock, when you look at what's going on in some of the alternative world music spaces, if you want to use that phrase, there's lots and lots of music still coming out. There's, in fact, because of the internet, there's actually more people, you know, getting music out there that's accessible, not having to go through the system. There's actually, strangely, more to write about, I think, in a lot of ways. I think the biggest, you know, challenge for critics, it always has been, is picking out what's important or what's interesting and getting people's attention. I think that may be harder. I mean, the irony is there's probably more writing, there's probably as much music out there as ever, but getting people's attention about what's important about it is perhaps tougher.
In your introduction to the book, Nelson, you break down the job of the music writer into three different roles. I thought that was a pretty interesting take on explaining exactly what a music writer does, because sometimes I think from a listener's standpoint, they're not exactly sure what that role is. Can you explain how you broke that down, what those three roles are?
Well, I mean, I just think these are broad generalizations, but essentially, you know, one of the things is, you know, what is happening right now? You know, and that is whatever. If T.I.'s new album came out, T.I. just, in fact, did a show in New York. What does T.I. mean right now? What does his new record mean right now? And, you know, and you're judging him in the context against the Jay-Z's and what else is going on in the culture of hip-hop, what's going on in the pop space, his own personal dramas because he was recently arrested, and also his personal history. So that's one job.
So you have to be a reporter.
Yeah, you have to, and really talking about where does Britney Spears, any of these people mean right now when a new record comes out. Then the other thing I look at is, you know, what's new. And a big part of it, and I think one of the more fun parts of the job is finding the new artist, the new movement, the new city in some cases. You know, back in the day, it might have been writing about, you know, what was going out in Seattle and how that grunge thing was coming up, and look out for that. So I think discovering new, important, interesting bands or singers is a really good, essential part of why we do what we do. You become a cheerleader to some degree, or at least someone who's really on top of what could be very important in a year to everyone else. And then the third thing is, you know, really dealing with the past. And a lot of it is, you know, like that's your – there's a great magazine out of Brooklyn called Wax Poetics, which deals with old-school R&B, old-school funk, old-school Latin and jazz. And they're one of the magazines that sort of epitomize looking back, capturing the importance of records, artists, movements that we may have missed or forgotten about.
And that's where the story about Mandrill, this 70s sort of funk act, comes from.
And Mandrill is one of those bands that was very important for a minute or had a really intense following, disappeared. They've actually been touring a bit this year, but I thought that record was – I thought the writing of the article in Wax Poetics was sort of representative of a certain kind of aesthetic of music writing, which is to – look back at something that's not as well known. Certainly, it wasn't a mass hit, a mass band, but had a really important impact at a certain moment in time. And I think those three things: what's going on right now, what's going to happen next year, you know, what's coming, and what was. And, you know, and a good music journalist does all these things all the time. But certain pieces are targeted more to those moments, I think.
We're talking to Nelson George. He's the guest editor of Best Music Writing 2008, which has more than 30 different stories, including a couple that we've talked about so far. Nelson is also the author of the books Hip Hop America and The Death of Rhythm and Blues. Let's talk a little bit about Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. And you were talking about those sort of three roles of the music critic. A couple of those sort of overlap in Andy Tenniel's story, The Return of Real Funk and Soul Music. We're talking sort of about new music, because Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings are a new artist, but it's an old style as well, too. What appealed to you about this article?
Well, you know, the piece, that's the profile piece of an emerging organization or scene, is always a big staple of I think, music writing. I just thought this was a really good example of it. There's nothing innovative about the piece, but it just was super solid in what it did. I thought the stories in it of how Daptone Records and how Sharon came up and their sort of impact was a good one. And, you know, again, I think this was a very solid piece of writing about a scene that people know about but don't quite know about. I mean, people know about the Dap Kings more through their work with Amy Winehouse than their real records. So I just thought this was a really good piece about something that's going on now that's underappreciated.
Here is Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. This is Something's Changed on Soundcheck.
When I walk through that door, something's changed.
Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings are the subject of Andy Tenniel's article, The Return of Real Funk and Soul Music, just one of the articles in this year's edition of Best Music Writing. We're talking with the guest editor of that book, Nelson George, on the phone. And Nelson, as someone who wrote the book called The Death of Rhythm and Blues, I have to ask you, what do you think of Sharon Jones?
Well, I think Sharon Jones is good. I think, in fact, that there's been a pretty significant revival of soul music in many forms over the last 2 years. Obviously, people point to Amy Winehouse, but there's a lot of artists who are making the distinction between R&B and soul, where R&B has become, if you will, Beyonce and Usher and very commercial stuff, And there's a whole group of people, even someone like Rafael Sadiq, who's actually doing a show in New York tonight.
He was just on our show last week.
Oh, well, he's back. He's doing a show tonight. I love his album. His album is another kind of retro soul thing. And I've actually spent a lot of the summer traveling the country, going to different places where soul music came from, New Orleans, Memphis, Philly. And there's a lot of interest in traditional styles or bringing a very soulful approach to contemporary black music back. And I think that that's it. So I think this article by Andy captured something that's both happening now and has a chance to have even bigger impact in the future.
So R&B, not dead yet.
Well, soul. Not the same, and that's a distinction that you could argue about. But certainly a lot of people are making distinctions, saying they're soul artists as opposed to R&B.
I see.
Because of R&B has become associated with certain things that are not as soulful, quite honestly.
Well, let's move on and talk a little bit about hip-hop. There's a number of hip-hop articles in this year's edition of Best Music Writing. There's a profile on the Wu-Tang Clan and Notorious B.I.G. and also Grandmaster D. We've had any number of music writers come through our studio here at Soundcheck and talk about hip-hop being in crisis over the last year or two, or it being in flux. Does that mean it's a good time to be a hip-hop writer?
Well, I don't know, but I just thought that a couple of the pieces really captured life outside the fast lane. People talk about hip-hop, and they talk about how many records being sold by major labels and certain big-name artists. But what a couple, like, there's a piece in Kansas City about Kansas City rappers and how these guys basically get ripped off along the way in their journey to try and get a record deal by different low-level hustlers. And I just thought that captured the life a great, great many young MCs have. How do you break through? Who do you trust in a game that, if you have rappers, or, you know, rap records all about hustlers, well, how do you negotiate a world where everyone considers themselves a hustler?
This is Nadia Flom's piece in The Pitch called Pay to Play, Hip-Hop Hustlers Are Making Off with Kansas City Rappers' Hard-Earned Cash. It's an investigative story.
I just thought it was really excellent because, to me, so much of what goes on with this culture is not stuff going on in New York or not the stuff going on in L.A., but what goes out in the where people have a dream of being an MC and places that don't have really good hookup, where you can't run into Puffy or chase Puffy down to the club. And the trouble these Kansas City rappers run into is just, to me, classic low-level hustling record business stuff that I thought was really well researched and put together. And I just loved it. And I felt the same way and a different way about the Grandmaster D piece you mentioned, mm-hmm. which was a profile. Grandmaster D is the DJ for Houdini. And Houdini is one of the bands that, you know, I was actually involved. We honored them at Hip Hop Honors last year. But, you know, they're still a band that's playing the oldies hip-hop circuit, if you will. And Grandmaster D has been a DJ forever, and I actually known him a long time. But this was a really good profile of life on that, you know, out of the line. I used to be big, and what's my life like now, even though I'm, you know, how do I survive as an artist? How do I make a living off what I love? And I just thought that piece on Grandmaster D captured, again, the life of hip-hop outside the limelight. Everyone's obsessed with what Jay-Z is doing, but there's a whole nation full of people who are caught up in this hip-hop dream, who are you know, not living a fabulous life and who are scrambling to try and make it through and dealing with their own personal demons. And I thought that piece captured that beautifully.
We're talking to Nelson George. He's the guest editor of Best Music Writing 2008. You may also know him from his books Hip Hop America and The Death of Rhythm and Blues. Nelson, what's the breakdown in the book between print stories and online stories in terms of the music criticism?
I really don't know.
You don't know?
I never really quite honestly, the picture, I didn't really pay attention to that. I just looked at the pieces that intrigued me.
Okay.
So it wasn't any kind of balance. I didn't even know how many – someone's going to ask me how many people of color are – and actually it's funny because I just found out one of the writers in here is a woman of color. I didn't know she was when I picked the piece. So I didn't – I just took the pieces blind. I mean, I knew a couple of the writers in here. I actually maybe know one or two personally. But for the most part, these are just pieces that came in. They were given to me, and I looked at what I thought were the best ones.
But then, you know, there are some stories that deal with the internet and its impact, both good and bad, on music. We're going to be talking to a band, Sam Champion, later, and we'll be talking to them about how they've used the internet to promote their band. There's also a great story in Best Music Writing about this band Annuals from North Carolina that experiences basically blog backlash before their album is even out.
Yeah, I thought that was by Bill Wasik.
That's right.
And the Oxford American, and
yeah.
I thought that was really a great piece, because this band, he was able to use Annals as a way to look through the journey of a band through cyberspace, you know, from Pitchfork and all the other kind of tastemaker places that make and break groups today, particularly in the indie rock space. And I thought, again, for me, I love a piece that takes me to a place that I kind of know about exists, but really shows me how it works and doesn't work for a group. And I thought Bill did a great job with that.
This band, this is what they had to deal with. A blog before their Pitchfork review came out, another blog preemptively did a strike and wrote, "Get ready to get sick of hearing about this band." We've been talking with Nelson George, guest editor of Best Music Writing 2008. He's going to be part of a reading that's going on tonight at Half King at 7 o'clock with the New York-based contributors that are in Best Music Writing this year, including some names you might know from Soundcheck: Gary Giddens, Alex Ross, David Camp, and others. Nelson, so much. Thanks so much for being on Soundcheck.
Oh, thanks so much. Peace.
Annuals are just one of the music acts that you can read about in Best Music Writing 2008. And up next, we'll hear from one of the authors featured in the book. Critic Oliver Wang shares the story of a 1960s Latin music craze called the Boogaloo. And coming up later, the local rock band Sam Champion joins us to talk about their namesake, and they'll play live in our studio. This is Soundcheck.
Thanks for listening to WNYC On Demand. Please check out our other programs at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This free service is made possible by our listeners. Become a member of WNYC today.